Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Welcome, everyone, to Kill Me Now. You know, it's always a pleasure to interview someone who, you know, you've known of, not best friends, since I started doing stand-up comedy I did it in 1982, but then, you know, Catch a Rising Star in the mid-80s. I met the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Wayne Fetterman. Woo!
Thank you. Thank you. Your mic went out a little when you said my name, but I can handle it.
Wayne Fetterman.
There we go.
Wayne Fetterman. Why would my mic go out?
I don't know.
That would happen to me, where someone's introducing me and they're like, Judy. And then, anyway, Wayne, you have a great
book. Do you have
out.
That thing where whenever you play a comedy club, the week before was the greatest week in the club's history?
Beyond.
We forgot the convention was in town this week and we're gonna have to cancel the late shows on Friday.
You know what
Saturday.
I love the it's Super Bowl shit. Yeah. Because you know my fans are just sitting at home watching the Super Bowl and
of
being
course.
Wives.
Yes, core audience, Bronco fans, right?
That's right. Here it is. History of stand up. Wayne Fetterman
you
wrote
got
a book.
It. I have your book right here, but it's on Kindle. I've read the whole thing.
Did you like it?
Well, it's interesting. We cover a lot of the same areas.
I know.
It's really fun. Really fun.
I
yes.
know, but I love yours is very, you can tell that you're by reading your book that everything in your house is organized. And that everything is in a pile of fucking shit here.
Before we start, can I just say that the Gary Goldman bit that you put in your book that I love. It's just one of the greatest little runs of stand up ever,
isn't
right?
It?
It's so, I can't believe you printed out the whole thing. It was just reading it. It was
right,
making me laugh.
And I had to beg them. Like they didn't want me to do it. And
oh,
I
they
was
didn't?
Like, no,
No, sorry. This is so fucking good. And
the fork.
I love him. I just fucking love that guy.
Yeah. So I was reading that and it was making me cry. And it was beautiful. Thank you for getting that in the book. I don't have any stand up in my book, by the way. Maybe one or two lines. You know,
because yours is a history and mine's sort of polemic. And what's great
what a surprise.
Yeah. is that I get to use great stand up as the evidence for my argument. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, but weighing a lot. Let's start with you and your life, shall we?
Yes, let's do it. Let's do it.
You know, it's amazing because you are many things. I feel like we're kind of similar, but you're a white male.
I agree. In your book, it says you started in 81. So I don't know why you're changing your birth date, your comedy birth date for this podcast to 85.
No, 82. Oh, yeah. Well, I started in 80. Well, it was 80, December of 81. I did my first set.
That's what it's. I'm reading your book. I'm just quoting you.
Yeah. But then I wasn't like, you know, then I was in college, but I was only doing stand up spotty, you know.
Okay.
And then like, yeah.
So I might have started. Yeah. I started in 82 at the comic strip. So it was like, so we're about the same. I'd say, I think you're a little younger than I am.
Yeah. I am way younger than you, Wayne. Come on. look at us. Wayne Allah, you're a comedian. I mean, you're just, I feel like we're like,
I know,
except
it's weird.
You're the wealthier white male.
Yeah, I got all the advantages.
Yeah. Author, actor, writer, historian, musician, producer. Okay, let's start at the beginning. You're one of six. So you're born in L.A. Why are you born in L.A.? Was someone in your family?
This is just so you know, before we get into this. I have a very vivid memory of a lot of things that happened in my life. So I can talk in great detail. So I don't know how deep you want to
go. Yes, we go deep. We go deep here.
This may end at the third grade because I remember a lot as from my childhood.
I love that. See, I don't. You're a happy person. I've heard that in a lot of interviews and stuff that you've done. And I have blocked out so much because not the happiest, but... You're one of six children.
Well, here's the real truth. Here's the truth. It is. I'm one of six children, but it's not from the same father, all six.
Okay.
You care about any of this?
Yes, I do. We love this shit. We love
you
this
do?
Shit.
Okay. Well, just let me. This is what happened. I was born in Los Angeles at the same hospital that Robert Kennedy died in. The
Cedar Sinai?
No, Hospital of Good Samaritan.
Good Samaritan.
I'm like a history guy. Come on, let's get it.
Shut up. All right, good.
So I was born here, and then my father, I'm not born Wayne Fetterman, by the way.
I know, you're born Wayne Mondshine.
Yes. How'd you know that?
Oh, I...
What?
I do a lot of research for my podcast guests. You're Wayne Mondshine.
Yep, that's a yes. That's on my birth certificate. Yep.
Yes.
And then, so I'm adopted. So my dad, Earl Mondshine, got cancer, smoker,
Jew.
Of course, immediately gets the cancer. And we go back to, they're from the Maryland area.
To Silver Springs.
Yeah. So even before that, Alexandria is Virginia, actually.
Oh, sorry.
And so, so Earl had four kids. I was the youngest of that group. Okay, so I had two older brothers and older sister.
Is everyone adopted or there's some bio?
No. We're
adopted.
All part of Earl Mondshine's. We're all Mondshine's.
Oh, okay. You're all Mondshine's. Okay.
Okay. This is before Fetterman. So we go back. I end up living. He dies. I don't have no memory. I have no memory of my dad.
How old were you when he died?
By like one. Like one.
Okay. That's all right. You're
Am I okay with
forgiven? That? Yes, you're forgiven.
All right. So then for the next 5 years, I'm living with my grandparents and my siblings, and my mom is living on a fold-out couch downstairs in the living room. Okay. That's my earliest memories of childhood. And then I remember her dating, and then I remember her marrying this guy, John Fetterman, who ended up adopting the four kids and then having two other kids with my mom, just who I think of as my full brother and sister, even, you know, we're all Fettermans.
Right, of course.
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you're talking about a blended family here. You know, I have the one that came out of the vaginal area, and the other one that came out of someone else's vaginal area, and they're both exactly the same to me. So your grandparents lived in Silver Spring, Maryland, or Alexandria, whatever.
In Alexandria, Virginia, yes. Yes, on my mom's side, yes.
And then she marries Fetterman, and what does he do for a living?
Pharmacist.
Very nice. How did they meet? Who, what guy marries someone with four kids?
I know this guy.
I fucking love this guy.
Well, you're not going to love him by the end of this story.
All right, whatever.
You're not going to love him. But he did, I will say that he did step up. And I remember that when we were, my mom was dating, she would have just.
Landline. Well, I mean, I have a landline. I'm just saying it and it's going off right now. That is how, Jewish. I'm just waiting for the fucking message to come on. It's definitely like CBS Pharmacy or something.
I just want to be, not only a landline, but you have an answering machine. Is it have a little cassette tape, a mini cassette?
No, I'm not
with
that
a digital.
Bad.
It's a digital.
All right. Just to be fair, Wainala, I have the answering machine because my mother, before she died 6 years ago, almost. Yeah. Would leave me these messages and I didn't want, and there's some messages on there.
And you know, so I also save, I have messages from the 80s.
You do not.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. We're back to being the same person. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very close.
All right. Yes. All right. So, okay. So John, go back. I'm sorry, John.
So wait, before you got interrupted by your phone machine, and I love using the word machine, by the way. So great.
Oh my God. I was just watching something on Instagram and I'm like, and it was a bunch of comics, you know, like that they got together to talk about like giving or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so fucking old. Like that's all I was thinking was, oh, and one of the guys like, you know, I'm 32. And I'm like, shut the fuck up. All right.
Okay. All right. So real quickly.
Yes.
When we were dating, my mom was dating. I remember she would only introduce two of the kids at a time to kind of like.
That is the fucking funniest thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did she say there's four, but I'm just doing two and two?
I don't know what she said to the guy. She's like, do you want to meet my kids? And then two, the rest of us would stay upstairs. And then if that went well, it was like, oh, by the way, there's also Andrew and Wayne.
Wait, so I have a question.
Yes.
Your mother has four kids and is living on your grandparents' couch. How does she fucking meet anyone? Like, I know people who can't meet like, how did she meet him?
That's a great question. And we never really talked about it because I know, like, for a couple of years she was just supposedly in this horrific depression and wouldn't even like go anywhere. And a lot of the times on the weekends we would go to hit her older sister's house just so she could. No, oh Jesus. This is incredible.
I know.
Like, this is your life. This is, what was that guy's name?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. With Sylvia, actually. Mm. And so we would go to Aunt Sylvia's house.
I had an Aunt Sylvia. I really feel like I have to ring the bell 100 times for this story. Okay, go ahead.
So we go to Aunt Sylvia's house in Chevy Chase.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I know this can't be more Jewish. And we would hang out there on the weekends when my mom would slowly get back to being a person and then she met this guy. Yeah.
Wow. So, all right. So she meets it's John pharmacist. Fetterman.
Right, right, right.
With no H, J O N Fetterman, right?
No.
Really? It has an H.
Yeah, yeah.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
And he's a Jew?
Mm-hmm.
Like his parents really helped self-hate Jews. Okay. All right,
and then they had two more kids, but he turned out to be pretty abusive to the point that my brother Andrew and my sister, when they turned 18, changed back to Manchin as kind of a.
Wow. As a fuck you.
Yes.
John Fetterman,
I don't use that word. You do. Yes. Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
It was intense. It was an intense house to grow up in.
So you She marries John. And do your grandparents like John, or they're just like, whatever?
I think they're
just
happy
out of the house. Yeah. I can't with the fucking five people here that we didn't plan on having.
Right.
So then you are the young. So what? So you're the youngest.
I'm the youngest. So
much older are you than the John dad?
That's a great. Like 5 years. 5 years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So there's six kids. It's the Brady Bunch. It's the Jewish Brady Bunch. Except Mike is an asshole. Is that correct?
I don't. Let me just say, he was a very, very intense, rageaholic kind of guy, and would hit us. So it was like it was.
Beat the shit out. Is he dead?
No, he's still alive, but my mom's dead.
Oh, rest in peace.
I know.
And he's alive. Isn't it amazing how miserable? Isn't it? It's just so true.
I know. It's really, I'm starting to tear up just thinking about, thank you for picking up that. Yeah.
That horrible. When did you live in Plantation, Florida?
Okay. This is what happens.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is big history. You ready?
Betterment history. Bing. Yeah. Go ahead.
So we have a pharmacy we live in Silver Spring. So we moved out of Alexandria to Silver Spring, and then 1968 happens. Martin Luther King gets killed. There's crazy riots.
Yeah.
Guess whose drugstore gets completely ransacked and destroyed? Upshur Pharmacy on Upshur Street in Washington. And so he can't go back to that location because he can't get any more insurance for that store that he wouldn't be able to do it. So he was so I will say this was smart of him. He was like, okay, I sell drugs. Where is there a huge market for legal drugs? Let's go to Florida because there's a booming lot of old people there that need drugs.
Juice.
Yeah. Boca Raton. So we moved to Plantation, Florida in 1969. I remember the entire road trip. I remember everything about it.
So you're 10.
Yep.
Was that hard? I mean, had you bonded with people in your neighborhood? You had friends?
Oh, that's a good question. Look at you. You're like a therapist.
Thank you. And it's interesting. Actually, our time's up. And that'll be $750. What? And I don't take insurance. Yeah, go ahead. Wait.
I hear somebody outside the door. Is that your next patient?
Yeah, and she's crying.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Oh, you have to exit a different door than you entered. Yes. You know that move?
Please. Yeah. I've been on Zoom therapy now, but like watching people walk out of the fucking therapy office, like especially if it's a couple.
Yeah.
And they're, one of them's like so mad and crying, and the other one's like, hey, you know, it's awful.
Hey, everybody, if you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
All right, so you move at 10.
So we move down to Plantation, Florida, the most racially insensitive name for a city, right, maybe in the country.
Right.
Yeah. And then so that's how I got to Plantation. I'm trying to, yeah. And then I was there through high, and it's 5 days after I graduated, I left Florida and I haven't lived there since.
So you have an abusive father. Do you remember him adopting you? Was it a big ceremony and everything?
No, it wasn't a big ceremony, but I do remember, because I had already learned to write Manchin.
Right.
Like, you know, as a 5-year-old, like, right. And I learned how to rewrite the name. So right. That was interesting. This is the honest truth. I thought it was just like, that was a normal part of childhood. You get a name, you get a new name, you get a dad. Right. Like none of it seemed weird or awkward at all to me. But looking back, just talking to you right now about it, I'm thinking maybe, you know, like, at that time, I was like, my dad was dying and all of that. Maybe I was like not getting a lot of attention as the youngest right. kid. And maybe that's part of my like, oh, I like doing comedy and getting right. approval from adults. Or I'm
right.
Just, I might be wrong about that, but I'm just thinking.
I think you're right. I mean, I'm the youngest too. And it's like, yeah, hello. Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't have your own bedroom, I'm assuming.
No. Not until.
What are the names of the kids? It goes.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah,
it goes Greg, Marsha.
Just so you know, I've done hundreds of podcasts. No one has asked anything like this.
I'm fascinated by people's stories. So it's Greg, Marsha, Peter, Wayne.
Right.
Jan.
It was Muhammad, Felicia. It was Denise was the oldest.
Not that Jewish.
My sisters.
Okay.
I know. First of all, one of these names you're going to laugh at because it's right, okay. not at
it's
all.
So Gaisha. Okay. Go ahead. Yeah, so Denise is the oldest.
Denise, then Lyle.
Oh, I like Lyle.
Then Andrew, who was yeah. the closest with. Then Wayne. That's the four. That's the four Manchin kids. Four.
Right.
And then later, David, classic.
Yes.
And then my youngest sister, Benita. I know she's Hispanic.
What the fuck is that?
I have no idea. I don't have no idea.
Benita?
Yeah, Benita.
What about the middle name? Is the middle name normal?
Hope.
Yeah, that's very Jewy. That was that generation. You know, that's that generation.
What do you think that was? You think it Benita, was like, I like...
Maybe it was a relative of abusive John Fetterman.
I don't know. I you know. But here's the crazy thing. It was
maybe
so
he felt like Mussolini, and that's why
Benito,
he wanted to
be. I thought. It was so tense in my house that we never, ever, ever spoke about our real dad ever in the house. Ever.
You just got that feeling? Like, oh, better not? Or they said, or did your mother, what was your mother's name?
Norma.
Did Norma say, listen, kids, don't mention Earl around John.
No.
Really?
No, it was really weird looking back at it. It was
so
like
before John, it was, even though your mother was depressed, you know, and you know, whatever, there was love. There was no abuse, correct?
No. Yeah. It was just like, I mean, and I was just, you know, I'm a kid. I have older brothers and sisters. Yeah.
And then this fucking guy comes in and is like, all right, I'm taking over.
Well, you know, it's so nuanced and
right.
It's just he was, you know, it was not good. It was not good. People ran away from home later.
Who ran away?
Lyle ran away from home. He couldn't handle it.
Wow. What is
Denise? This is like all. Yeah.
I love this shit.
Yeah.
What happened to Denise? Not good.
It's not good. I don't even know if I want to say it. I don't know if I want to say it.
All right. You don't have to say it.
Yeah.
We love you, Denise.
Yeah.
We love you, Lyle. We love you, Andrew. We love you, David. We love you, Benita.
I love it. I love that you know all these names. It's really, I'm blushing.
All right. So at 10, you move and you're in Plantation, racist Florida. And do you go to synagogue? Like, is there any normal?
Okay, this is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're conservative Jews.
Same. Yeah.
We're part of, we're the same. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're conservative Jews. All got, I don't know if Denise got bat mitzvah, but definitely Lyle, Andrew, we all got bar mitzvah.
Right.
Certainly Benita got, I went to hers.
Yeah.
And it was a growing Jewish community in Plantation. And here's the crazy thing. Next to Plantation was what you would think a place called Plantation is. Now it's called Davie. It was.
Yeah, I know that place. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So Davie at that time was what we used to call it, the sticks. It was whatever, it was literally KKK meetings posted on board. It wasn't like underground or anything. So that was like, okay, that's what's over there. And then the last time I was in Florida, like 5 years ago, there's now two synagogues in Davie.
No way.
Yes.
What was like, the name of your synagogue growing up?
Oh, Temple Beth Israel.
All right. This is how I grew up. We had Shabbat dinner every Friday. We went to synagogue.
Two sets of dishes?
Yes. I have two sets of dishes here.
You do?
Yeah. Come on.
Let's be real. How strict are you with this? You're more Jewy than I.
Now, you know what? I feel like I grew up that way. And it was so ingrained. I mean, first of all, you used the wrong fucking knife and my mother had a like mental breakdown,
Did she bury it? Did she bury it in the backyard?
Bury it in the earth. I have a joke about that. She would bury it. And then in the wintertime, she would put them. She didn't want to go outside because it was cold and she put them in her house plants. Okay. So I have a joke about how people would come over and be like, hey, beautiful ficus tree. Why is there a fork sticking out of it? So, anyway, and I'm so used to it. And it was like this ingrained and I guilt and blah, blah, blah. Now I'm very, the Chinese food has meat has, we'll use the meat plates for that. Even though everything else, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my mother really, she loved being a Jew.
Was she an immigrant?
No, she grew up in Manhattan.
Oh, okay.
She literally sat in the boys' Hebrew school class voluntarily because girls didn't go to Hebrew school every day after school, like voluntarily. She was so Jewy.
She wanted to learn. She was like,
She loved being a Jew to the point where the relatives who all lived on the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
Would like, there's a story of my great aunt, my mother buzzing to come up and they had just had made bacon and then putting on every fan and opening the windows and hiding the bacon. All right.
Now so, assimilation, baby. Assimilation. So you're a Manhattan kid?
No, I grew up in New Jersey. Mother was Manhattan. My father worked in Trenton because he was a tax attorney. He wrote the tax laws for the state of New Jersey.
Right. So they on brand.
The halfway house. Freudian slip. The halfway point between Manhattan and Trenton, which was also one of the most racist places ever to grow up. Okay. So, and you're going to Temple Beth Israel.
Yeah.
Is that your social, are you in USY? Are you in B'nai B'rith? Are you
little bit? I was a little bit, but as soon as I got bar mitzvahed, I
was like,
my
care.
Ticket and I'm out. Yeah. Yeah.
And were you like a well-liked? I mean, did you feel when you were at school, were you like, oh, this is fun. I'm out of the fucking abusive household.
You nailed it. I loved school.
Right.
I was very funny in school. I got a lot of praise and encouragement in school. And I not only was I like the class clown guy, but I felt like I took it to another level because I could make the teachers laugh as well as the kids. I felt like anyone could be disruptive and make the kids laugh.
Right.
Like that was the lowest bar Like, I was like, if I can get the teachers laughing, I think I got something here.
Wow.
And they were the ones that encouraged me to go into stand-up. No way. Not my parents. Are you kidding me? No way.
Let me tell you something. If you were female and you were doing that, you would be in trouble like I was. Right. But guys that are funny, fucking, you know. And you started doing ventriloquism.
In high school, yep. That's actually the start of the history of stand-up. Is like when I got into stand-up history through that guy, Edgar Bergen. I'm sure you know who he is. Tell your listeners who that was.
Yes, of course. The ventriloquist. He was a ventriloquist. What was the name of his puppet? We used to watch
Charlie McCarthy.
Charlie McCarthy.
But he was on the radio. He was that's like a juggler on the radio.
Yeah.
Like it was the greatest job ever.
Yeah, he moved his lips, ladies and gentlemen. I know my parents loved him, and because my parents were born in 1916 and 1922.
Wow.
My grandmother's born in 1896. So that's who I grew up with. And so all that radio stuff and was very, he was great. So you start doing ventriloquism.
Because I think I'm too afraid to do stand up.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a magic. I mean, I got my dummy Buford was his name. I got him at a magic shop. So they're connected. It's like a trick, you know, ventriloquism.
What was Buford's personality like?
This is a classic, just Charlie McCarthy kind of thing. There was nothing super creative. It's just no kid in my school heard of Charlie McCarthy. So I could repurpose some of those old routines.
Right.
And then write new things about, you know, driving instructor and stuff like that. And then, or getting my driver's license. And I, this is the truth. I took him to the senior prom. It was Buford, Wayne, and Stacy.
No way.
Performed at the senior prom. Yeah.
Wait, what was your date like? All right. First of all, I just want to say I didn't go to the prom. Thank you.
You didn't go to any prom?
No,
junior,
never.
Senior.
Nope. Not. No one asked me.
Okay.
No,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
This is because I'm always curious. I'm also curious. Did you kiss any dudes in high school?
I kissed girls. I kissed a girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did a couple
make
of
out.
Guys. Yeah.
Make out.
And I hated it. I hated the guy making out. Yeah. I hated it. It felt so awful. And I loved the girl making out. Like, it was like,
yeah, I like making out with girls too. I get it.
We're so similar. No, but it was like, it wasn't normal. It wasn't like, oh, they're dating, you know, like all people. I don't know if my kids. Yeah, I guess they do. You know, all those people that were fucking hanging out in front of their lockers and basically like rubbing against each other with their combs sticking out of their pocket and like, bleh, you know, grinding. And I never had that sort of. Yeah, no, nothing was normal. It was not normal. Everything was.
I mean, I know you were like a big, tall kid, right? So it was like already you were.
I was 6 feet at 13. And I was even taller. Then I got even taller and I was in the marching band. It was not, it wasn't a recipe for being popular. But it wasn't a normal. I didn't go through all those.
Were you in plays? Were you in plays?
I was in Guys and Dolls in seventh grade. And then they told me,
let me assume you sang Take Back Your Mink. You were part of that.
No, I did.
Adelaide?
I was the head of the mission.
Oh yeah.
Sarah Arvide. But I was in the orchestra too. And in the band, and I played a lot of musical instruments. So I would, I sort of gravitated towards music, even though I really wanted to be on stage, but everyone was like, you're too tall. So I was taller than my teachers. It was like fucking ridiculous. And I wasn't athletic. I mean, I am athletic, but not, you know, like in seventh grade, the coach told me I was too tall for the basketball team and it wouldn't be fair to the other players. Like, so, this is the story of my life. So
I'm just curious.
No, it's fine. okay. So, does the ventriloquism bring you, I mean, like, are you popular or are you like, oh, that's Wayne. He's the, and you're really smart too, right?
I'm smart enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Shut up.
Let me just say I was a really good test taker.
Like really?
if it was, if it was a multiple choice test, even if I didn't even study, I could do very well.
Okay,
on this
see,
test.
That's where now we're done being similar. I like multiple choice tests. I would sit there like for hours. Well, there's part of B that's true and part of... Like that's, I would sit there for an hour on one fucking thing. It was awful. Yeah, but I was good. The other stuff, the essays and the
right,
all that shit. Yeah. Okay. So do you make any money in high school doing ventriloquism?
No, but if you look behind me, do you see that?
Drumming?
Yeah. I did play a couple weddings as a drummer in high school.
So were you taking
that's
lessons?
My first show business money. That's my first show what, business.
Wow.
Money. Yeah.
Did you take lessons at the school or did you have private lessons?
I had a private lesson, Mr. Melfi. And
I had, as soon as
I went to college, I gave up drumming. This is my first set I've had since the 70s.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you buy it?
Well, when I got this place. So two years, wow. A couple months ago. Yeah.
Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it feel good? okay. So you're bringing the Jew out in me. I can't even
I love it. I love it.
All right. So by the time you're in high school, Denise is gone, right?
Yes. Lyle
is gone.
He's run away. Yes.
Where did he run away to?
But to Washington, D.C. First went to the village, you know, the scene.
I love Lyle.
The hippie scene. And then,
Did you hear from him at all?
A little bit, but it was, you know, it's just a very tense thing.
So awful. Yeah. And then what happened to Andrew?
And then Andrew kind of lived half and half at home and with his friend Skip. And then he went to University of Florida. And he was always right in front of me as, you know, and smarter than I was. Athlete, football, the whole thing, basketball, all-star. So I kind of lived in his shadow a little bit, which is fine. And then he since has, as Andy Monshin, become an Oscar-nominated editor, film editor.
That's right. Andy Monshin.
Yeah, he's killing it. He's
good for him.
He just edited an episode of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, my God. I wish I could be in that goddamn motherfucking show. That's awesome.
And then he's...
Norma is very proud.
Yeah. What is the name of the Ma Rady's Black Bottom?
Yeah.
He cut it.
No fucking way.
Andy Fetterman. He used to be Andy Fetterman. Now he's Andy Munch.
Wow.
Munch. Yeah. So he's had a very successful career. So it never stops being like the one who's not quite as successful.
Now, your other Benita and David. Do they have different interests than you guys, or are they artsy or not artsy?
Not artsy.
So we got the artsy from Earl. So so what are they? Like finance and shit like that?
Benita is a teacher and David works in, yeah, she's, and David works here in, works in Atlanta, outside Atlanta at a hotel, like as a manager. Like
do you feel they have
hospitality,
rage?
I think is the name of the.
And no gays? Is there any gay? Are there any gays?
Nope.
David is gay. I'm telling you right now. He's in hospitality at a hotel. Please. Do you feel like they're more enraged? They have more rage than you guys? Because they're
genetically linked. Oh, that's a great question. Well, here's the dynamic. If you really care about this.
I do. I love this shit.
Really hard for me to talk about. The physical abuse ended with me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think there's still some Andrew especially was really angry. Yeah. So, I think that more. I was a little more of the Henry Kissinger. I was like,
right.
I can make this work. I can be the guy. You know, I can bond. Yeah, right. I can bond. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to say, in my whole life, I've never raised my voice to my father. Like, it's really sad. Yeah, it's really.
And what about the other two? So David and Benita
Were
treated differently, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Right. I don't know if it was for I don't know.
I'm telling you. Okay. So
that's the dynamic. I told you I have a vivid memory of all of this stuff.
It's amazing.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome.
Okay. So yeah. Then you decide you want to be a really good actor. So you're going to go to NYU, Tisch. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so, I love that you have these paths, you have desires and goals, and that's it. It's very myopic. I want to do this and I'm going to do this, which is
and
great.
I said, I will give up my 20s for this goal. And at 30 is the first time I'm going to look back and go, all right, was this worth it? And if it's not, I mean, I felt like I could always get some stupid job.
I know. I always felt like that too. And now that I'm old, I'm like, I can't be a real estate. I mean, I could be a real estate, but no way. I could never be a bartender or a waiter. You know, like, I can't do it. The fact that you knew that 30 was not that old and that you could look back and start again is like pretty amazing.
Well, I read some good books about it. I read some good books of like, you have to really give it a fair shot.
Right, right.
It's nothing you can kind of dabble in if you're serious about it. And though so I was 30, I was doing fine. So I was like, let's see what happens until 40. You know,
so you go to NYU, you study with Stella Adler. Right.
With her. We were the last
fucking
class.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Can and you know, I believe that.
Do you? It's incredible looking back, considering she studied with Stanislavski.
I know.
I studied with Stella. You're 1 to 2 degrees away from Stanislavski now talking to me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I should put on something nicer. All right. So.
Well, the big breakout star of my class was not me. It was Donna Murphy.
I know. And you guys performed together too.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I love Donna Murphy. Yeah.
You do? Oh, yeah. I love her so much. And
she's so fucking talented.
We auditioned together for NYU. This is the crazy thing is like talent is just, it's undeniable when you see it.
I know.
Right.
She was unbelievable. You're still friends with her?
Yes. Yeah. 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 I mean, she's in a kind of a different Broadway world. She's
and you
like a
did,
queen of Broadway. And
what was the comedy show?
Go ahead.
What was the comedy show you did with her?
It was called Comedy Tonight. It was a kind of a one person show, but I would bring a singer on and a dancer on. And
ventriloquism.
I actually did do a little bit. That was sort of near the end of the ventriloquist run. And But that's when I first started doing stand up, and it went pretty well. The first one went great. And then I did it again and it didn't go as well.
Yeah. 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 That's the story of all of us.
It is.
It's like doing coke. Like, it's like you first, the first high is the greatest. And then you're like, okay, well, I want that again. And it's like, no, sorry.
No, you're denied. Denied.
So you're doing stand up while, first of all, what was it like going, you know, you come from this fucking abusive household. Your siblings are running away. It's like, and you're at Tisch School, you're at NYU, like studying with Stella Adler. Were you like, I mean, it must have been a freak show.
Well, this is the thing. This is where we really differ. My first time in New York was moving into the dorm. Like, I had no idea.
You had nothing in New York. No idea.
The first time Stella Adler Studios on 55th, NYU's in the Village. The first time I get on the train, I go the wrong way because I thought downtown meant, oh, downtown Manhattan. That's right. Got to be where 55th Street is. Downtown. No, it's uptown from where I had no idea even what downtown.
Wow.
You know, because I'm from D.C. or in Florida.
Did your parents move you in?
No.
What? Not Jewish. What's that? You went by yourself?
Mm-hmm. No, I've been sort of on my own since the age of 17. Like, I've just been on my own.
Wow. Okay. So you move in. It's just you. You have a roommate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and by the way, this is when I gave up the drums because I was like, I left my drums in Florida with my friend. Right. And I was like, I'm not going to be, hey, I'm your roommate. Here are my drums.
Right.
I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
And so I had a roommate and I really lucked out. I had a roommate who wasn't a freshman and he would go home to New Jersey almost every weekend. So I had the place to like myself. And
I like that too. I had a roommate one year. Yeah. She left every Thursday and came back every Sunday night. And I was like, yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah.
We're
Weinstein, the name of the dormitory was Weinstein Dormitory. Not the guy.
Right. Who was what was the roommate's name?
It was Robertson. I can't remember his last name.
God. Okay. So you're in Weinstein dorm with Rob, who goes home every weekend. You're best friends with John and Murphy, but it's grueling, right? You're working with Stella. It must have been so much fucking work.
You know, I was into it. This is the honest truth about I think I was too young to really appreciate Stella Adler because I was really, I hate to say it because I learned a lot from her, but she was really into like Chekhov and, you know, those 30s plays.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
she's from
yes,
the group
yes.
theater. So she's all in that lefty stuff. And I was into Neil Simon. Like I thought Plaza Suite was an amazing play.
I agree.
So,
okay. Yeah.
I did fine. I did fine. And I'm still friends with a lot of people from there. And, but I don't know if I totally was like a serious, an act. I just wanted to be, here's my goal. I want to be a good actor who did stand up. I want to be a good actor who did stand, who could also, was great at stand.
See, I wanted to be a stand up who could act.
Oh, it's the same. Okay.
So, you know, that's what I'm saying. I had stand up
first. Same thing.
Okay.
So. The same exact goals.
What's your first stand up gig in a club? Is it at the Strip?
Are you talking about auditioning or?
No. Like, you're doing this comedy like tonight.
Where you're passed?
Yeah. At the club? So, which club? You pass first at the Comic Strip.
Well, actually, no. Actually, passed first at the Improv and then got into a disagreement with Silver. And then I felt like I can't work here anymore and then went to the Comic Strip.
Can I ask about the disagreement with Silver?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Silver Friedman, by the way, owned the Comic Strip with Bud Friedman. They were Silver Friedman, just for the people here.
Yeah.
Bud and Silver were married, divorced. Silver got the Improv on 44th between 9th and 10th in New York City. And Bud opened the Improv in Los Angeles. And Silver was a character. Go ahead.
She's still around.
I think. She's still around. I mean, in the comedy club, you know. Yeah.
So this is what happened. I do a set and I'm pretty good right away. I'm not great, but I'm like, I'm not bombing or anything. Every set is pretty good. I do a set at the Improv. It doesn't go well. And I don't know about you. When things don't go well for me, it's evident on my face. Everyone in the crowd knows it. You can see me get panicked. I have whatever stage fright kind of kicks in. I get self-conscious. I rush to punchline. It's just bad. It's a bad scenario. So, and some comics are just great at just like rolling through that, not care. But I'm a very sensitive person. So I didn't have a good set. I'm just like, God damn it, really upset with myself. And then I go back in the room and Carol Leifer's on stage. She's killing in front of the same crowd that I had a bad set in. So this is making it worse for me. So I'm like, oh, it's not the crowd. It's obviously Wayne. It's terrible at comedy. So I have a mini tape recorder. So I'm like, I'm going to just record what she's doing so I can just study this thing. Guess who sees the tape recorder after 5 minutes? Silver pulls me out of the room, takes the tape out of the thing. And I had taped my bad set. So it was a mini cassette thing.
Yep.
Throws it away. He's like, this is the one thing you never do. You never think. This is you're breaking the cardinal rule of being a comedian. Unless you got permission from her to tape it. Did you? I was like, no, I was just, I'm flustered thing. She's yelling at me, Jack Fetterman style. So I was just like, and then I almost in tears left there. She didn't say don't ever come back, but I was just like.
And you didn't even get to say to her, I'm doing this because I want to study her set. Like you didn't even.
I was too flustered. Right.
It's so amazing. Those people have such power over you. Like that they don't even realize that one little thing they say will stay with you for the rest of your fucking career. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So that was the story. And I was just like, I don't think I can.
Did you ever walk back in there again?
I did. Like when I would do Jersey gigs, I would meet people there. Or I'd hang out with Mike Rowe at the bars. Right. You know what I mean? But
didn't they have the best French fries? Remember they used to cut the potatoes and that was.
So yeah. Weird. I love that. I mean, it's like I read about the room in The Last Laugh. Like,
right.
Like I was into that room. So that was a career, but here's a little Wayne Fetterman key to success is that whatever I lack in talent, I feel like I make up for with determination and ability to like stick to itness or.
Right.
Or, yeah. Like I feel like I have that.
Right.
Like I can recall. It takes me a couple of days and then I'm like, all right, let's keep going.
You're going to move ahead. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you then move over to the Strip. Right. With Lucian and which is on the Upper East Side. I probably met you there. I think I don't know. Cause that was one of the first clubs I worked when I came and Lucian, Lucian Hold, he's not Jewish. I don't know why he's dead. My first audition, I think it must've been like 1982 or 83. He says, you know, you're female. You're Jewish. I don't know what kind of market there is for Jewish female comedians. And I was like, is there any other? Like what? What the fuck? I'm like, 19, 20. I'm thinking, oh, really? Yeah. Like you think it's true. But anyway, he ended up being such a great. Yeah.
Champion.
Because I came back a couple years later after I graduated college and whole new person. So you were working at the Strip and this is where you met your little, a lot of people don't know that we are in little groups. We're like little, it's like school, like in your class. These are the people that started when you started or that you worked with. So you became friends with Jerry Seinfeld. Who else?
He was more of an upperclassman. Those were like Seinfeld, Reiser, Larry Miller,
Steve Schaefer.
Yeah, Schaefer was a little more, but still, Schaefer was before my time. So it was before.
Colin Quinn was the bartender. A lot of people don't know this at the comic strip, and he had to quit he could not bartend and do stand-up. 100%
correct. 100%
correct. So he had to quit to go do stand-up. And now look at him. He's very successful.
Yes, he is. Here's an interesting thing about Colin is he never really did a late night stand-up set.
Right.
Like, that's amazing to me. Like, he never was like, oh, he's going to be on Letterman and do six right. minutes of stand-up. Like, he was able still to build this career without being able to crack that thing.
Right. And Colin and Larry David were both comics who the comedians would be like peeing in their pants and the audience would be like, wait, what? And, you know, it's just fascinating that they they were so successful.
Then he left and then he started working, I think, the Paper Moon. Is that place?
Yes. Oh, my God. Your memory. That's right. The Paper Moon. And there was Green Street. Remember Green Street?
Yeah. Yeah. There's all those
villages. With Leah Sutton.
Yep. Yep. And yep.
What was the one in mid? Oh, my God. Who's good on times? First?
Remember oh, who's on first and Good Times?
Good Times. Yeah. Comedy U Grand.
Yep. Yep. I know all those places.
Oh, my God. That was the 80s boom. It was really an amazing time. Oh, yeah. Time it was quite a scene.
Very lucky. You know, even though at the time, you tell me, this was my memory of it. At the time, it was like, oh, there's way too many comedians at this point.
I know.
That's the way it felt like to me.
There were so many clubs. You could get so, and you didn't, there were no bringer shows. It was like you, people, and I would do, I remember I used to do street fairs. I used to do like, I remember Wall Street, they used to have these like happy hours. I'd go down there, then I'd come back uptown. You know, when I started with this, you have to bring 10 people.
Okay. Really, I write about this in my book, The History of Stand-Up. I don't want to talk about it, but.
Yes, that you do.
Now they charge comedians. Do you know about this?
Right. Yes.
Like when an open micer, because I love all of stand-up. Open micer to John Mulaney, the whole thing. I love the whole. So
we're both lovers of stand-up. That's when I was, read your book. I was like, oh my God, he loves this as much as I do. Like love it. And I feel, and I'm protective of it too. Like of the art of stand-up comedy. But go ahead.
And when these young comedians would tell me that they had to pay $5 to do 5 minutes at an open mic, my jaw dropped. And they're like, no, that's just the way they couldn't. It seemed like, and some of them were like, yeah, these are the best open mics because everyone there is dedicated and everyone in the audience. It's like, wow, could you imagine?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
That's so upsetting about it is that those people are bringing people like that's the thing. We bring the people to your place because they want to hear.
No, this is not a bringer show. This is not a bringer.
No. I'm saying comedians.
Oh,
if you're even if you're an open mic, if there's an open mic and someone's walking by and they're like, yeah, let's go hang out there and do the open mic. Those people wouldn't be in your place of business if you didn't have the open mic and they're buying drinks. So a comedian should not have to pay to get on stage.
Okay. That's your point. That's your point.
That's obvious. Point. I know. I'm just fucking saying you're an asshole. Thank you so much for listening to part one of Kill Me Now with Wayne Fetterman. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. This podcast would not be possible without the help and dedication of Brittany Jo Sowers. Now, if you like the show, I say this every week, just can you please subscribe? Can you please leave a review? Can you please buy my book on Amazon and like review it? Five stars. It's really great, my book. Yes, I can say that. When they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. Also, if you didn't watch Hysterical on FX, watch it on Hulu. It's a really great documentary about, you know, what it's like to be a woman in this great stand-up comedy industry. And that's it. Well, it is spring. It's getting nicer out, and I'm still stuck in my fucking apartment. So, it's over soon, guys. So that's it. I hope everyone still wears a mask and gets their fucking vaccines. Get a fucking vaccine. It's ridiculous, people not getting vaccines. And just be well. Just be well and enjoy the sun. Because the vitamin D is very important. Also, please follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all of my upcoming virtual and live events. I have a lot of shit going on. So go to @JudyGold, @JewdyGold, you know, like Jew Gold. And I just joined Clubhouse Kill Me Now. That's all, folks. So long. Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
It's Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn for part two on Just Kill Me.
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
No.
Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Kill me now.
Just Kill Me now.